So good to see all of you out this morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Going to be talking about something a little bit different this morning. Last week, and really the last few weeks, we've been talking about the spiritual battle that we're involved in, the spiritual battle that we all have a part in, whether we want it or not. And last week, we talked about four battles that we fight against. And one of those battles that we talked about was worry and anxiety and how we can fight in that battle. One of the things that I just mentioned was 2 Corinthians 5:7. We talked about one way to fight worry and anxiety is by the shield of faith. And I mentioned one verse, and it's 2 Corinthians 5:7. And you know, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and it's almost as if Paul is saying, I'm ready to get out of this earthly body. He was talking about the groanings and even the aches and pains that come along with the earthly body that we have. And then he starts talking about the heavenly body, the immortal body. And that leads us to verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the one little verse that kind of the Lord led me to this week. And it's very simply this: for we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And so now if you're in Hebrews chapter 11, that's where we will stay this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, the first point that I want us to look at is very simply, because we're talking about walking by faith this morning. The first point that I want us to look at, like I said, very simply, is the definition of biblical faith. The definition of biblical faith. Look there with me in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the reality. Yours might say the substance. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the evidence or the proof of what is not seen. Okay? Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. How can we put this into words that apply to us? How can we put this into tangible terms that we understand? Think of it this way, okay? Look at that first phrase. Faith is the substance or the reality of what is hoped for, okay? Think of this. How do we see, this is not a trick question, how do we see the known world, right? We have eyes, right? And even if our eyes grow dim and if our eyes start to fail us, we can reach out and we can touch this physical world, and we can know that things are real. But now, the spiritual world, it's different, isn't it? Okay? We can't see the spiritual things that are going on around us. We can't see the spiritual battles that we're a part of. But through faith, we realize that there's more going on than what we can see, right? And that there's someone responsible for all of it. I want to, there'll be a verse up there for you. It's two verses. It's Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. This past Wednesday night, we talked about with the teens that, you know, one of the biggest lies that Satan does, he attacks our how we view creation. Okay? There are so many different theories out there now of how everything was created. But the Bible here, in Paul in his letter to the Romans, he's speaking about a society, not a very godless society, not one that didn't know about God, but one that knew about God and still rejected Him. So that's the context of these couple of verses. It says, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. In other words, what all this is saying here is that God made Himself clear. God made Himself plain to be known by all. He does that, talking about putting it with evidence is within them. He's talking about the soul, the conscience of man. And then he goes to verse 20. He says, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Listen, because of God's invisible attributes, people are without excuse, both the invisible and the visible things that He has done. So listen, think about that. There's things that go on in this world that we can't explain, right? Like, how did, have you ever just, okay, maybe I'm weird. I don't know. I've just sat down and I thought, how did the first tree get here? Like, how would have God, like, dreamed up a tree? Like, the first, like, little blade of grass out there. How did it sprout up and then spread? There's things about this world that we see, and it just don't make sense to our minds, right? Think about the universe. Think about how everything is in its proper place. The sun, most scientists agree, is somewhere around 93 million miles away. And if it was any closer, we'd fry. And if it was any farther away, we would freeze. The sun is just so perfectly set that it shines the proper amount of light on the planet that we live on. Think about the moon. It is properly set in its place to have the proper gravitational pull on the tides of the ocean. There's so many different things. Think about the human body. When's the last time you got a little nick on your arm or on your leg, and you watch the way your body heals itself? You know, I read, this is kind of weird. I don't know how they would have ever come to this conclusion, but apparently if you took all the blood vessels out of your average adult, they would stretch almost 100,000 miles. That's a lot of blood vessels inside of me and you, isn't it? Like, where does all of this come from? Look down at verse 3 in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen has been made from the things that are not visible. My soul, my conscience that God has given me to start with is inside of me, and it's leading me to the fact that there is a being that created all of this. Biblical faith is us acknowledging that God is responsible for all of this, that He is the source of it all, and that through all of His invisible and visible attributes, through our conscience that He gave us, He is desiring to lead us to Him. And then walking by faith, which we're talking about this morning, it's us responding to that. Faith is more than just talk. We'll get into that in just a moment. But faith, listen, if we could take something away from this, faith is when we live like the things that we can't see are a reality. Faith is living like the things that we can't see, they're a reality. Look at that last phrase in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, it's the proof of what is not seen. Listen, here's the proof of what is not seen. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, a blind leap of faith? Like we've heard that, right? Scripture doesn't ask you to do a blind leap of faith. Why? Because it's laid all out right here for you. Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and earth. Colossians chapter 1, we actually see that Jesus was the one that did all the creating. And everything from creation until Jesus comes back to get His church is laid out here for us. So what biblical faith is, it's asking that we trust the God of the universe in faith, that for now we can't see, and then as His children, we walk in that faith. So this morning, very simply, to sum up the definition of biblical faith or walking by faith is us living our lives on the reality that God exists and that He can be trusted and obeyed even though we can't see Him now. Which leads me to my second point, point number two, the importance of biblical faith. Look at one little verse there, verse 2. It says, for by it, talking about faith, our ancestors were approved. How are we approved by faith? There'll be a couple of verses up there. Ephesians 2:8, you've all heard this. For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it's God's gift. It's God's gift. In Romans 4:5, a pretty good verse. It says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. We can't get works. I'll say this a couple of times today. We can't get works out of their proper order. Works do not save us. We can't earn salvation. But what we'll get into here in a little bit is that works are a proof of our faith. We can't get works out of order. So by the combination of God's grace and our faith, salvation becomes a reality for us. Look, God justifies us because of what Jesus did for us. He loved us enough to send His Son to be the payment of our sin. And when we accept Jesus' payment for our sin through faith, It's accounted as righteousness. The Bible might use a word like imputed righteousness. Depending on your translation, it may say credited righteousness. In other words, think of this. You have a bank, your life is a bank account, right? And you get a credit. When you come to know Christ, you get a credit of righteousness. And that covers the entire bank statement, right? That's how we can explain this idea of imputed righteousness. I said another word a while ago. I said justification. These are words that are found in Scripture. We use them in church. But what justification is this? It's the action of declaring or making righteous in the sight of God. Through the sacrifice that Jesus offered on our behalf on the cross and us putting our faith in Him and what He did, we are made righteous. I've tried to explain justification in this way before. If you think of the word justified, it's almost as if saying, just as if I'd never sinned. When you're justified, God wipes the slate clean. He covers you with the blood of Jesus, and that's the way that He sees you. Okay, that's what happens when we place our faith in what Jesus did for us. After salvation, because of justification, it's as if though we had never sinned. We are declared righteous. We have not earned it. We have not bought it. He declared us righteous. And just like Abraham, we'll talk about Abraham in a moment, we have been approved. We have not earned it. Once again, He was just declared us righteousness. Let's look at the role that we're talking about, the importance of biblical faith. Look at verses 4 through 6 there. Let's talk about the role that biblical faith plays in our lives. Look at verses 4 through 6 in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By this he was approved as a righteous man, because God approved his gifts. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through this. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not experience death. And he was not to be found because God took him away. For prior to his transformation, he was approved, having pleased God. Look at verse 6. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists and rewards those who seek Him. There's one phrase there that I want to talk about for just a moment. It is impossible to please God without faith. There'll be a verse up there for you. It's Isaiah 64:6. I've quoted this before. It says, all of us have become like something unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like a polluted garment or a filthy rag. All of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities carry us away like the wind. By our own, on our own abilities, the best righteous act that we can ever come up with is like a polluted garment, a filthy rag. There's a lot of young ears in here. And so if you really want to get down to what Isaiah is talking about here, go and study Isaiah chapter 64. And it'll give you a pretty clear discussion or a description of what Isaiah is talking about here when it says a filthy rag. The point of this verse is our best efforts to uphold the holy standards of God fall miserably short. There's no way to satisfy God's holy standard on our own. It's impossible. But through us walking by faith and not by sight, we can please God. Look at verses 4 and 5 again. These two Old Testament examples show us how to please the Lord, right? God approved. We always wonder, well, why did God approve of Abel's gift and He reject Cain's? Well, it was because of faith. Abel was approved because of faith. Enoch never experienced death. God just took him. Why? Because God approved him because he was pleasing to him in faith. Not only are we approved by our faith. When we make, and verse 6 here, this is probably this is fantastic for us. When we make an effort to draw near to Him, He rewards us. Look at verse 6 one more time. It says, now without faith, it's impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists. And look, and He rewards those who seek Him. The context of this verse, it implies that God is waiting to reveal Himself to those who seek Him out in faith. That's what this is talking about. Okay? So listen. So this morning, look, we I, and I, I didn't want to spend too much time on these first two points, but we've defined faith, right? We've defined it what it is. It's us living on the reality that God's there, even though we can't see Him. And hopefully we understood how important faith is, because we see here that it's impossible to please God without it. So now, the third thing that I want to talk to you about this morning, this is really the whole idea of walking by faith. Point number three is this: works in biblical faith. Works in biblical faith. Once again, I'm going to say this. We must keep works in their proper order. Works do us no good before salvation. After salvation, as we're going to talk about, they're proof that we've been saved. Okay, so my question to all of us this morning is very simply, what have we placed our faith in? What have we placed our faith in? Because listen, everyone has faith. Everyone does. They may not believe the way that we believe, but everyone has faith. There will be people in this world that choose to put their faith in nothing, choose to put their faith in themselves, choose to put their faith in creation itself, false gods, and then there are those of us who believe Scripture and choose to put our faith in the living God. You say, Jonathan, I put my faith in Christ, and I would ask you this morning, does your life prove that? Listen, so much of what we've been talking about since this idea of Christianity 101 God laid that on my heart. We've talked so much about works backing up your faith, works proving your salvation. They don't save you, but they are proof that you belong to Christ. Works have such a big part to play in our faith, because biblical faith, walking by faith, listen, it's so much more than just a belief. It's so much more than just a belief. Go ahead and put that next verse up there. And this is why I stress the point of our faith being proved by work. James 2:19, it says this: you believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe, and they shudder. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe, and they shudder. So the question from this morning is our faith different than those of the demons? And here's what I mean by that. Listen, think about this with me for just a moment. The demons, when Jesus would cast them out in the Gospels, they would shriek, they would scream, but they would always identify Him, right? They would say, Son of God, what do you have to do with us? They identified who Jesus was. They believed in who Jesus was. And then it even says that they trembled. They shuddered. They were terrified because they understood the power of God. So what's missing from their faith? What's missing? The works of faith are missing from their faith. Listen, faith is something that we're willing to base our lives on. We live out whatever we put our faith in. You can say, I believe this, I believe that, but at the end of the day, what you truly put your faith in will be proved by your life. When we walk by faith, this will be up there for you. When we walk by faith, the works of faith follow. When we walk by faith, the works of faith follow in that specific order. Ephesians 2:10, we read verse 8. Earlier, 2:10, for we are His creation. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. This is James chapter 2. I put James 1 in my notes. That's incorrect. This is James chapter 2. I picked out several verses out of James chapter 2, and we'll just look at them together. Verse 14, okay, it says this: what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? Can his faith save him? Okay, the answer to that, as we'll get to in a minute, is no. Verse 22, do you see that faith was, and this is talking about Abraham. James starts the paragraph out with verse 14, and then he talks about Abraham. And this is the remaining verses are about Abraham. Verse 22, you see that faith was working together with his works. And by works, faith was made perfect or complete or whole. You see that a man is justified, verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In verse 26, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Once again, we cannot get works and faith out of order. But through these verses, we see the importance of the works of faith following our walk in faith. If your faith is just all talk and your life never matches up, it's not a biblical faith, and God will not accept it. Here's why. The lack of works show the true condition of our heart. And here's what I mean by that. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. God is looking for those who return his love. He's looking for a loving relationship, and the works of faith prove that we truly do love our Savior. You see, biblical faith, it's not a passive faith, but it's an active one. Biblical faith is not just hearing, it's doing. Biblical faith is us going to the Word of God, seeing what is expected of us, and marching on those orders, regardless of what we want or feel. Biblical faith drives us to a holy lifestyle, and that holy lifestyle, otherwise known as walking by faith, it will produce fruit. As I was studying last night, I got to reading in Philippians chapter 1. You won't find this one back there, guys. This is a late edition. Philippians chapter 1, I got to verse 10. And Paul is encouraging the Philippians to learn what is approved by God, to learn what is the things that are superior, the things, quite frankly, that God would approve of. And then it gets to verse 11, and it says this. He says, be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. So here's the thing this morning. If we're walking by faith, the fruit of righteousness will follow after us. So I ask you, this morning, if you say, Jonathan, I'm a Christian, I would ask you this morning, does your life back up what your mouth confesses? That's the most important thing that we must come to a conclusion of in this life. Would you say that you have a biblical faith? Because as I said before, we're all going to put our faith in something. We are. A lot of people will, whether they mean to or not, they'll say, you know what, I'm a good enough person. I can get through this life. They're putting their faith in themselves. Like I said, people walk through this world and say, I don't think anything else is out there. I think that this is it. You know, once again, they're kind of putting their faith in their own ideologies. But this morning, if we say that we have biblical faith, I would say to you this morning, your works prove that your faith is genuine. Your works will never earn you faith, but they are a result of you placing your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for me and for you. My final point this morning, point number four, if you're walking by faith, your walk will be different. You probably got to flip the page in your Bible. Go to verse 30. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read several verses here to kind of close out the chapter here. We're going to stop at verse 39, but in Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to start in verse 30. Basically, this entire chapter has just been one biblical example of a faithful follower of God after another. A lot is mentioned about Abraham, Noah is mentioned, other people are mentioned, Moses is mentioned. And then it gets down here to the end, starting in verse 30. It says, by faith, Don't miss that. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute received the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. And what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the raging of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength after being weak, became mighty in battle, put foreign armies to flight. And then look at verses 35 and through 37 here. It says, women received their dead, raised to life again. Some men were tortured, not accepting release, so that they might gain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings, scourgings, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they died by the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins, in goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the ground. And ending here in verse 39, all these were approved through their faith. Church, this morning, if we're walking by faith, our walk will be different. How many times in human history has a war ever been won by marching around a city once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day marching around that same city 7 times, everybody getting their trumpet, blowing a trumpet, the whole army screaming, and the result of all of that, the walls fall down right in front of the eyes of the army? Once that I can recall. And it was by faith this happened. How many times in recorded human history did a young boy go against a champion of champions with only a sling and a stone and things turn out well for the boy? Only once. It was by faith that David did. And I could go on and on. We talked about last week. Started out with an army of about 32,000 people, and he followed, he trusted, obeyed God to the point of where he went in, marched into battle with 300 men. Things were done by faith. And so now, for us today, I could go on and on and on and give example of, after example, but there's no point in that. You get the point. When we live by faith, those living by sight will look at you and start to scratch their heads because your life will just not make sense to them. How you respond to situations, how you love people, how you are generous to those in need, how you love one another, and how you pursue something that you've never seen, obey words from a book that you've never met the author, your life will be different. And here's why. When you're set aside as a holy, special people, fitting in with the current culture and ways of thinking, it's just not on the agenda for us. Look at verses 35 through 7 one more time. Last week we talked about comfort. We talked about one of the battles that we fight is this idea of comfort versus the pursuit of Jesus. Look at verses 35 through 37. It says, women receive the dead to be raised to life again. Some men were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might gain a better resurrection. I want to stop there in verse 35. Listen, people literally gave their lives based on their faith, and some people still do today, but one thing I want to talk about here, they endured torture. It says, when it says they did not accept their release, basically what that is saying is these men, these women who were tortured because of their faith would not renounce their faith in order to be released. They said, you know what, go ahead, torture me, do what you will. Why? It says so they might obtain a better resurrection. That doesn't make sense unless you're living by faith. Why would I just allow someone to torture me, to do all these terrible things to me, if there was not something bigger and better than me going on? Okay? That's what he's saying. It gets worse in verses 36 and 37. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were dyed. They died by the sword. If I had to pick the way I wanted to go, those three would not make my top 10 ways. Right? Okay. Isaiah, one of the... I just off the top of my head, possibly the second largest book in the Bible. I could be wrong there, but Isaiah, it's widely accepted in Jewish tradition that he was sawed in half because he would not stop prophesying what God told him to prophesy. Go look at the death of the disciples someday. It's not pretty. John, the revelator, the one who brought us revelation, he was literally thrown into a boiling pot of oil. They thought it would kill him, and it didn't. They threw him into a scalding hot thing of oil. He lived somehow, and they said, well, that's not good enough. We're going to banish you to the island of Patmos, which is where John or Jesus revealed the book of Revelation to him. He endured all of that because of faith. People were killed in various terrible ways because of their faith. They were tortured. The faith that these people had led them to do things and say things that made the world so mad they wanted to kill them. This morning, I'm not telling you to go out of these church doors and make people mad on purpose so that just, no, that's my point is, if you walk by faith, it will be so different than walking by sight. People will take notice. People will be aggravated. Jesus promised this. He said, if they persecute you, if they hate you, it's because they first hated and persecuted me. It's the faith that we walk into. And I promised you earlier we would talk about Abraham. Talk about walking differently. Talk about walking differently. Flip back one more page, and this is the last verse we're going to look at in Hebrews chapter 11. It's verse 13. And here, you know, we read Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. And we talked about Abel. We talked about Enoch. In verse 7, it talks about Noah. And then verse 8, it starts talking about Abraham. Abraham was approximately 74, 75 years old. God tells him, I want you to get up and I want you to go. I'm not going to tell you where I want you to go. I'm going to make you the father of many nations, even though at 75 years old you don't have any children. I just want you to listen and I want you to go. I'm not going to give you the GPS coordinates. I'm not going to give you anything. I just want you to go. I'm not going to tell you where to turn left, where to turn right. I just want you to follow me. So Abraham got up and left. Verse 13. It talks about verses 8 through 12 have talked about how Abraham, he just obediently followed wherever God led, okay? And it talks about, verse 13 is kind of the summary of all of those verses. It says, these all died in faith without having received the promises. But they saw them from a distance, greeted them and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on this earth. Talking about walking differently, walking by faith. God made promise to Abraham. God made a promise to Moses. God made a promise to David. God made a promise to these people, and they never saw the promise fulfilled here on earth. But they lived their lives walking by faith in such a way, God spoke it, so He's going to do it. And their lives match that. They were living, as it says here about Abraham. He saw that in verse 10, it says that he was looking for a city with heavenly foundations. You see, Abraham looked off in the future, and he understood one thing. This life is not it. This life is not the ultimate goal. Isaiah, I'm sure, as he was sawn in half, probably had the conviction that this life is not it. Because if this life is it, I'm not going to get sawed into pieces. the people that were chased with swords, the people that were beaten, all of these people were living with something else in view. And here today, in 2019, as believers in Christ, we still have the same thing in view that they did. In fact, we have more in view because we see that Jesus has already came and that He's coming back to get us at some point. We have more than they did. So I would ask you today, do you understand that you're just passing through this world? This world is not it. Look, I'm not going to stand up here as a preacher and tell you it's not easy to get caught up in the things of the world. It is. It's easy to let this life consume you. It is. This is Allison's favorite time of year because hunting season is coming close. And, you know, one thing that she's giving me a look in case you can't see. One thing I've even noticed in myself, I've been doing, you know, I was upset whenever we changed cable providers because I lost all my hunting shows. And, well, lo and behold, smart TVs are really smart. And so what I found myself doing, I went on my new little phone I've got, and I put a YouTube app on there. And so what I can do, I can go and I can find what I want to watch on YouTube and then link it up with my TV. And so I have hunting shows now. So here's what I found about myself. With hunting season like approaching, it's getting here fast. I'm excited. It's getting here fast. I've really started watching some things, you know what, that can kind of help me learn a thing or two. She just rolls her eyes and keeps going, but I'm learning something here. The closer the season gets, the more consumed with it I become, folks. Your season is coming to a close here on earth. A better season is coming. Are you preparing yourself for what's coming? Because if we walk by faith and not by sight, can we see heaven? No. I also can't see the deer that I'm going to shoot this year, but I'm still preparing for it. How much more important is heaven than that? Are we preparing? Because listen, we are called as God's children to walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, so the point this morning, if you think about it, we're looking forward, as I said a while ago, we're looking forward to a place we've never seen, we've only heard of and read of. We're living our lives based on the words of a God whom we've never met. But I don't know about you, but it sure is a reality to me. My faith, I have banked it on that God is a reality, and I'm going to live by faith and not by sight, because once again, I've acknowledged that He is the way. So us here this morning, are you living like this world is the ultimate goal? Are you living based on the promise? Are you living based on the promise that Jesus right now is preparing a place for you, and if He goes away to prepare a place for you, He will then come back to get you? Are you living based off that promise? Because it's a promise of Scripture. He's going to return to come and get you. Can you say this morning, I'm truly walking by faith? As you see, walking by faith, it's what God requires of us. Walking by faith, like I said, it means that your life's not always going to make sense. You're going to do things that seem strange to those who are walking by sight, because you're putting all of your faith into a spiritual realm that you can't see. So this morning, we've defined what it is to be biblical faith. We've seen that, quite frankly, it's impossible to please God without faith. We've seen the importance that faith without works is dead. That when you walk by faith, the works of faith will follow. And we also see that if you're walking by faith, your walk will be different. So I ask you this morning, Are you walking by faith? Very simply, what have you put your faith in this morning? Is it yourself? Is it a false deity or a false idea? Because if we're walking by faith in Christ, the works will follow. So this morning, I would ask you to stand. I'd ask the worship team if they would come. And kind of as we wrap up here today, I've talked a lot about you're saved by grace through faith. You have righteousness added to your account. Jesus, He lived, I talked about this last week, He lived a perfect sinless life. That qualified Him to be the sacrifice worthy of paying for mine and your sins. The only one who never sinned paid for all of the sins of the world for all of eternity. And then not only that, He died. He paid the complete price. He gave His life. But then He rose again on that third day, giving us hope. We have hope this morning. We have something that we can put our faith into. And that's what I'm inviting you to do this morning. You say, Jonathan, I don't know if I'm walking by faith. I would invite you to put your faith into the immovable, undefeated God of the universe, the God that we serve, the God that we passionately pursue. I would invite you because He has completely and totally paid for your sins. He's paid for it all. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You accept it and you are approved by faith. So this morning, if you don't know Christ, I invite you to put your faith into Him, to live for Him. Base your life on the reality that He is there and that He loves you. If you're here this morning, you say, Jonathan, I'm struggling. I know I'm a Christian, but I struggle walking by faith and not by what I see. I invite you to come pray. If you'd like to pray with me, that's fine. If you'd like to come pray by yourself, that's fine. I invite you to come. I'm going to pray for you and then we're going to sing. I just ask this morning that you be obedient to whatever the Lord may be leading you to do.